Hi, and welcome to the show, Waking Lions. And today I am joined by my friend Sally O'Connor, who is a hypnotist, and she is one of my friends who I have met online because, as you know, today it's one of the many, many days that we have all kind of been subjected to working online instead of in person, which for me is pretty great. Because for one, you know, we don't have to worry about how we're dressed most of the time and the whole appearance thing, and I can get ready a lot faster. At any rate, let's turn the time over to Sally and kind of get an idea about, because there are different types of hypnosis. And my name is MJ, for anybody that doesn't know. And Sally, why don't I turn the time over to you and you can tell us a little bit about the type of hypnosis that you participate in and kind of what your knowledge about it is and also how you use it to incorporate it into your own business.
Sure. Okay. Well, thank you, MJ. It's wonderful to be here today. A little bit about me. My name's actually Zelda O'Connor. I've been called Sally since I was born for my family and friends and all growing up. But I called my business Zelda Hypnosis because I feel like I'm finally coming into myself. And the birth name, and just it feels right, and it feels like this is the path that I am meant to walk down. So it's almost like a reawakening of sorts for me. And of course, you know, everyone knows me as Sally, and continue using that name, nickname, but Zelda is my name. I was born on Aunt Zelda's birthday, and I was blessed with her name. So Zelda Hypnosis is all about discovering your true essence, and that's after resolving any pains, any hurts, any blockages that either people have placed on us or we've placed on ourselves or environments or situations have put on us. I mean, you can't go through this life without a few bumps and bruises.
That's true.
So, yeah. And a lot of times it's these bumps and bruises that hold us back from becoming more and expanding and really growing into who we want to be. And so I like to use hypnosis to help alleviate and open up those blockages, to help resolve those inner conflicts and pains so that the true essence of the person, and it's really about the self-love and the God within that can then come out and be a blessing to others.
Right, and that's totally understandable. And I believe that even though all of us have different religious backgrounds, you know, a lot of Christianity, Judaism, a lot of spiritual people too, that just look up to a higher power per se. But whatever the belief system is, I think that almost everybody has some sort of a higher power that they entrust in. And I believe also that the majority of people understand that as people, we all have imperfections of some sort. And it's the ones that really need help that feel like they just need that extra little push, per se, to get them in the right direction. Would you say that's a fair decision to say?
Yeah, I'm not sure in all the cases it would be a push. Sometimes it's really just knocking down the walls that are blocking our ability to move forward. These are blockages that we'll place on ourselves. If we're hurt in some way, for example, perhaps maybe we're on a date and it turns out horribly disastrous, then our our incredible unconscious mind takes records of past events because its sole intended purpose is to keep us alive.
Right.
Its sole intended purpose is survival. So it's keeping our heart pumping, it's flowing our blood, it's taking care of all the bodily functions. There was someone that had said once, if we were responsible for our own breathing, we'd all be dead. Because we'd forget true. And think about something else and totally forget about it, because that's the way our conscious mind works. But
right.
So the unconscious mind, it wants to keep us alive. And when there's a negative experience, particularly when we've made an emotional attachment to that negative experience, it's like it makes an imprint.
Now, what do you mean by imprint?
It's an imprint in our mind that we can actually not just recall the experience, but we can feel. When we recall the experience, we can feel it. And people of trauma in particular will relate to this if they think about the traumatic experience. I went through some physical and sexual abuse as a teenager, and I wasn't always able to even talk about that without breaking mm-hmm. down. As soon as I would say that, I would feel the feelings. The feelings would come back. And that's my subconscious mind saying, oh, remember, I remember that experience. I've made an imprint of it. Here it is. This is, you can recount it and relive it through words. And I will also, here's the feeling that's associated with that as well. And it brings the fear and the anxiety and the panic all back. And when people are recounting negative experiences, it could even be maybe a fender bender at the local shopping mall where, you know, 2-3 weeks later, they're telling you about this fender bender and they're getting all angry and riled up about it. And it's made an imprint because there's an emotional feeling attached to the negative memory, and they've joined together and they've imprinted on your unconscious mind. You can say, I don't care about that. I'm not worried about that anymore. It doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. But the next time you go to the mall, if you happen to have a close call, that's all gonna come back if it's made that imprint. And you'll relive it. You'll continue to relive it.
Why do you think that our brains behave this way? What's the purpose of our brains doing this?
I think it goes right back to the unconscious mind's need for survival. And if you look back at early man who was hunting for food, there could be a dangerous animal in front of them and they would feel the panic and the fear and everything, and maybe they were bit or attacked. So their mind would know, and their mind would then remind them at the time of danger that, hey, this is dangerous, leave right away.
Because so like protection.
Exactly. It's all about protection and survival. But what happens in modern day is that we have these experiences that also leave these imprints on our unconscious mind. They leave a negative emotional feeling with the experience. So when we try to recall something in our life, trying to recall being a child, and if something traumatic happened, then we might break down and cry and be fearful, or we might be afraid to trust people again. We might be afraid to go on another date. We might be afraid, and that fear and the panic and the anxiety will set in and we'll shut ourselves in. And I've lived through all of that. So I know that the power that the mind and these memories can have over us, and they can be very debilitating, just keeping us, holding us hostage. But the beautiful thing about hypnosis is that we can detach the emotion from the experience. No one wants, no, the intent isn't to wipe it away. And I don't think that's the right thing to do anyways, because we are, in essence, a makeup of everything we've ever experienced. That's who we are.
That would be like amnesia, right? If you
right.
take it completely away, that would be amnesia.
Right. And it's how I'm able to discuss these things in my past without breaking down and without reliving them again and again, because I was finally able, through hypnosis primarily, and also through prayer, I was able to detach and resolve the emotion so that, and then I can grow from the experience. And you might think, you know, how do you grow from something so horrible as childhood sexual abuse? Or, I mean, as a teenager, I was so messed up. I got into drugs. I was addicted to cocaine. Like I really had a difficult time in my young life. But it's through these experiences that I learned about healing. I learned about resilience and persistence, about pushing through, about self-respect and self-esteem. I went on a journey when I was about 18, asking myself how to be happy. There was a girl in my class who was always so happy, and I thought she was a fake. Really didn't think anyone could be that happy. That wasn't my reality. And the only thing I'd known was, you know, maybe the Brady Bunch on TV or something like that. I'm dating myself now.
Marsha.
Yeah, Marsha. But that was TV and that's not real. You know, leave it right. to Beaver. They were happy, but that's TV and that's not real. And it certainly wasn't my reality. And as I got to know her, I had this love-hate relationship with her, because I hated her for being so happy, for being so confident, for being so, just being herself, and me being so scared and fearful and you know, from having gone through a lot of abuse and trauma. Right. And I was wanting it. I was wanting that happiness. If it's real, I want that. That's what I want. But I didn't know what that looked like or how to get that. And I actually started reading books on how to be happy, how to find inner peace. And my journey started a long, long time ago. But
that's awesome that you went out and sought the knowledge. You know, and I was going to say too, with the amnesia, a lot of people I think would be like, oh, I would rather have amnesia than remember all of those horrible things. But the thing is if you had amnesia, you might very well repeat the situations that put you in that, where
that's
you were really vulnerable.
That's a really good point.
And it's awesome that you were eventually able to separate yourself from that too. And that you sought out the knowledge, because the situation that you were in and the experiences that you had are not experiences that you can just that normal people, healthy people, mentally stable people would go out to some stranger and say, hey, this is what happened to me. How can I feel better? And so the scholarly type people, such as yourself, or people that are truly interested in finding out answers, are going to seek out the answers in some way that they can, but that remains private at the same time. So what happened when you sought these books, and how long did you do this research that you did?
Absolutely. Well, it started when I was 18 and I was reading books, and I still wasn't happy. I mean, but I started believing after I moved out of home. I finished high school living in a basement apartment, and then started working right away as I went to night school. And I wanted to be a social worker. That's what I wanted to do. And I did some work with two children. They were 3 and 5 years old, brother and sister. A neighbor of mine was fostering them, but she worked full time. So she asked me if I could babysit for her during the days. Mm-hmm. So I was still finishing high school. They allowed me to finish up my exams early to help out this woman, which was great. But through watching them, I wanted to be a social worker or a psychologist. And my intention was kind of twofold. I was hoping to uncover this stuff and heal myself. But at the same time, knowing all the pain I was going through made me aware that there was other people suffering this way too. And if I could find a way to resolve it somehow or overcome it somehow, then maybe I could be a conduit to help them, to bring them some healing as well. So it was selfish and selfless at the same time. It was for myself, but it was also to help other people. And I had an interview for a social worker position, position in the college. And they only take in a couple hundred students out of a few thousand. So they interview, and they were asking me questions about these two children that I was taking care of, the two foster children. And the three-year-old little boy was still in diapers.
Oh,
and
wow.
He'd been sexually molested. The little girl was five, and the same with her. And it took a bit for them to gain my trust. But once they did, like, they wouldn't leave my side, and they were with me all the time. And, you know, I couldn't go to the bathroom without them trailing along, and they wouldn't let me out of their sight.
Which
Loretta
is really-
would call me over.
Sorry, but that's really quite sad, because children, especially that young, are generally very quick to forget. So for them to be at that point means that they went through some very, like, extraordinarily traumatic events.
Well, and they were removed from the home because of the visible marks on them, and the medical reports on them. And there was evenings that Loretta would call me and ask me to come over and help put them to sleep, because they were calling and screaming for me. So when I went in for the interview with the college, they were asking me about my experience with these two children. And I got a little choked up. I got emotional. I was getting attached to them, and I really cared about them. And I just couldn't imagine, you know, the torture that they'd been through. And I was told that, I think you're a little too sensitive for this field. I think you're gonna crack within a few years, and I really would advise you to consider something else. I don't think social work is the right field for you. And so I studied communications, because I have always had a passion for writing, poetry and stories and things like that.
And that's quite emotional as well, right? That's being able to be in touch with your feelings and express them freely without someone telling you you're too emotional.
It is, absolutely. I mean, yeah, creative writing is all about using your imagination, you know. And I worked with kids in my last couple years of high school as a summer camp counselor, and I taught dancing at the local recreation center, and I love children and worked with children quite a bit. And, you know, unfortunately that got squashed, and here I am, you know, 30 odd years later, about to working in hypnosis and about to embark on becoming a certified addictions counselor.
That's incredible. Because then you're still doing the social work avenue for the most part. You're dealing more with chemical, well, I don't know if it's chemical, but alcoholism,
yeah.
Cocaine addiction, drugs in general, or narcotics in general,
mm-hmm.
which it seems like that would be a little bit different than a child abuse situation. So, I mean, I'm sure that there would be some cases where there's child abuse involved, but it seems like it would be more focused on the person getting help them for themselves.
Yes.
So that would be awesome. How long have you actually been doing hypnosis?
I started doing self-hypnosis and guided meditations about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And then 4 years ago, I'm losing track of time now, we just flipped the new year. So 2016, I took a coaching program through the University of British Columbia. I'm in Canada. And it was with the professor of the metaphysics department. So there was a coaching program, but then there was an add-on for spiritual coaching.
Oh, wow.
And so I took that, and I loved it, but I still didn't feel qualified to coach because I felt like everyone was saying, what's your niche? What's your niche? What's your specialty? And I didn't really have a specialty in, except to say that the spirit within, you know, helping the spirit within to heal and that kind of thing. So I started doing self-guided meditations. Been to a couple shows years ago, like in my 20s and 30s, and I loved it and I was fascinated by it. But I actually started studying in 2018 with the American Hypnosis Association, and that is primarily script-based hypnosis. And even after taking that program, I still didn't feel qualified to take clients. So that's when I began recording guided meditations and clearing the mind, which in the Christian world they call renewing the mind. I am a Christian, but I don't discriminate, you know, from the spirit that we call inner wisdom or higher spirit or higher consciousness, or a Christian may call the Holy Spirit within us. To me, it's all the spirit. It's all the spirit within us. That when I say that, I'm referring to each of those different areas. So
are you saying that it's the person that you're speaking to's interpretation of what that higher power or power is,
yeah,
whatever it is to them?
Absolutely.
Is that accurate?
Because, yeah, we're all on our own journey.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what's good for me may not be good for you, and what I call it, you may call it something else, and you're right and I'm right, because I'm right in my reality and you're right in your reality.
Right.
So I try to be, unless someone specifically wants it Christian centered, wants God speaking to them under hypnosis, and in that case it's all biblically based.
Mm-hmm.
So it's words that are spoken in scripture. Like, I'm not making this stuff up in my head and saying God says to you that,
right,
you know, that you're gonna overcome this. I will actually quote the script, quote the promises in scripture, and what that does is, I mean, for a Christian or a believer, they want to believe these things, but they still might have some insecurities and fears and blockages that are, they want to have faith, you know,
right.
they want to be hopeful, but, and there's a but, because they're scared or they've been hurt before or this and that. So those are the things that we deal with, mm-hmm, while we solidify those promises that are made in the Bible.
So that's what I was going to ask you, was how, because you do the mindfulness, and I guess I just use that word because it's, it is, for me at least, it's a type of a mindfulness connected with the spirit when you're talking about spirituality. When you're talking about spirituality and combining that with hypnosis, how do you do that? I mean, from what I'm hearing, you kind of do it through scriptures, but when people have a different type of religious background, do you still relate scriptures to what you're saying to the person? Do the journeys that you take, I know a lot of hypnotists or hypnotherapists, whichever, take people on journeys, you know, different metaphoric journeys. Do you use Christian symbolism in those, or how does your religion, I guess is the simple way to say it, how does your religion feed into the hypnosis to make yours a little bit different?
Right. Well, I think this spiritual component is probably more relevant in my practice than in the average hypnotist. But as I said, with there being a higher consciousness or inner wisdom, as we learned about what it's called in the Mike Mandel Hypnosis Academy, which we're both members of, or a Christian may call it, you know, the Holy Spirit within, or even Jesus within, which is spirit within. So if I'm talking to someone who is a Christian, and they've identified themselves that way, then I will, terminology wise, I will open it up and I will steer it in that direction. Otherwise, it's non-denominational. It's just really the higher wisdom, the higher self. But I do explain in my pre-talk that the different names for it that we might identify with, and find out how the person, because there's always a pre-talk as you get to know someone and whatnot. There's different ways to incorporate that into a hypnosis. I do guided hypnosis sessions. As I was doing the guided meditations before, but now with the hypnosis, I'm able to add these healing elements.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? Do you feel comfortable with that, or is that something maybe for another time, or do you feel comfortable with it now?
Yeah, but yeah, I'm not sure what you mean though, the question. The guided hypnosis?
Yes, the guided hypnosis.
Well, guided hypnosis is just, it's an agreement between the subject, which would be you or the person taking it, and the hypnotist, and it just, they close their eyes and relax, and you just take them on a guided journey. And the subconscious speaks to us through symbols and pictures and images. That's why our dreams are all pictures. Sometimes they're colors, sometimes they're black and white. This all means different things to the subconscious or unconscious mind. So I use a lot of these images. I don't, while I lead them through a journey, I don't lead them through the experience. They have their own experience, and each person will have their own experience. That when I mention an ocean, or if I mention a picture frame with their favorite memory, the snapshot of their favorite memory in that picture frame, everyone is going to see what's in their own subconscious or unconscious mind. So they're all created in a way that allows the person to have their own unique experience that's right for them. And at the same time, it uses proven hypnosis techniques for healing and overcoming and breaking down barriers. So I'm really excited about that.
And I have to say too that it was because you actually, I got to experience it through you, and it was phenomenal. It reminded me, because I have a couple of books on dream interpretation, because as you were saying, you just kind of left, it wasn't even multiple choice, it was just kind of like, there's a mountain, and however I interpreted the mountain is whether it was tall and green, or short and snow covered, or sharp, or however I interpreted it was how it was in my mind. And you didn't know, you just kind of went on with the story, and then in the end, you know, you kind of just established what each of the elements that I described it to you, what it meant, so that I could understand my own dreams a little bit, or my own thinking, I guess, a little bit better. And that really helped break things down, because you nailed my personality and the way that I thought just right on the head. It was just really, I want to say eerie, but it wasn't scary. It was just really bizarre, because at that time, that was actually our first time speaking together. And I remember that because we didn't even know each other. And I was apprehensive at first speaking to you because I didn't know you. And when you don't know somebody, you know, you don't want to just open up and let everything out. But you were just so easygoing that I found it very easy to open up to you. And so when I did, I was surprised at how much it just flowed from me and all of these thoughts that came out. And then your interpretation of those, of that thinking and what it meant, I was in awe. I was absolutely stricken with awe. And that's not the way all hypnotists do things. And I need to point that out because it's a very unusual way. And you're very, very skilled at that. So I just had to put that out there for you.
Thank you. Thank you. What you had was a mindscape. And that is another of my favorite techniques. So we've got the guided journey, which can be done. Like I have one coming up. It's the journey to self-love. It's all about self-acceptance and self-esteem. And I just see so much pain, especially on Facebook. And, you know, I have friends and family suffering from depression, anxiety, things like that. I mean, hypnosis doesn't cure anything, but it can certainly help to break down a lot of these barriers that are holding us in with these feelings. And it can help to alleviate a lot of these feelings.
Especially right now, with the way things are right now, and everybody kind of, not necessarily homebound, but we do have a lot more constraints on us than typically speaking. I mean, definitely more than it was 3 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. And then the mindscaping is another modality that I do, which the beautiful thing about mindscaping, and that's Mike Mendel's own protocol that he wrote, so credit to him. But it's an amazing protocol, and you can do it no content. And that's the beauty of it. So you don't even have to know. The person doesn't even have to share what it's about. They pick a word. So they pick a word, you know, healing. They know what it means. I don't know what it means. It could mean anything, you know. Or they pick awareness, or they pick confidence. And it's whatever they interpret with that word, the healing that they're looking for, that we work through. So I don't even, people can come in and not even tell me what the problem is, just give it a name. And we just work with that. And that's the incredible thing about the mindscaping and how it just opens, you know, it opens up so much. And then there's a third modality that I really enjoy doing, and that's working with ego states. And that's also, an area that can, where the higher spirit or the higher wisdom or whatever we want to call it can come into play. Because when we think about the unconscious mind, okay, that's the part of our mind that wants to keep us alive and survival. It's all about survival and keeping us alive. Mm-hmm. The conscious mind is the awareness, the awake part that we are, that we're trying to get through day to day and, you know,
right,
work and play and talk and do different things. But the higher wisdom or the spirit within, it has the best intention for us. It wants the best for us. It knows our full capabilities. When we look at these people that have run, you know, the fastest mile or climbed the highest mountain, or these people that have done these amazing feats, you know, triple right. backflips and things like that, and we go, wow, like, how can anyone do that? Well, anyone, maybe not anyone can do that backflip, but anyone can do what they were created to do,
right.
way beyond what they even can think or imagine they can
right.
do, you know? And if you listen to any of these very successful entrepreneurs and whatnot, they all basically say the same thing. You have to believe in yourself and believe
right.
that you can do it and just keep forging, and you're going to have mistakes and you're going to have pitfalls, but you keep going.
Right.
And when that higher power, when our ego mind, that's, this is who I am and this is who's talking, is not in alignment with our higher power, that's saying I'm wonderful and I'm, you know, I'm intended for great things, and I'm saying to myself, I'm no good and I'm a failure and everything, I feel really bad because this is what I think of myself. And there's a conflict between what the inner wisdom knows us to be and who we're saying we are. There's a conflict.
Right.
Because anyone who's ever been in their sweet spot, who's ever like a race car driver driving that car, or a singer singing in a show, or a football player, you know, running with the ball, they know what it's like to be in this zone. And right. being in this zone is a lot like hypnosis. It's total focus. They just kind of lock out everything else. The world, they don't hear the crowds and the stands. They're just totally focused on what they're doing, and they're so in their element. They're pumped with adrenaline and all these positive hormones flowing through our body, going through their body, and they're just loving what they're doing, and that's why they do it.
And that's exactly what the passion comes out. Feels like too.
Exactly. And when we're in line with our higher wisdom, then, and our ego mind is in line with our higher wisdom, that's the result of that, is that the love pours out and the happiness pours out and the passion pours out, because it's genuine, and you feel more balanced. You feel more at peace also, because there's a balance there. And, you know, no one's perfect. We don't maintain it 100% of the time.
Right.
But helping the ego states really helps to pick out the voices in our head that tell us we're not good enough, mm-hmm. and embrace them and comfort them and detach the emotion from them. Again, we're removing the emotion from the experience and disassociating mm-hmm. the feeling from the experience, so that we can recount it and it's not a big deal. It doesn't make us cry or break down. And at the same time, we can then align that higher wisdom, that inner spirit, to the experience, and just, you know, that's when the magic happens. So those are my three favorite protocols, and they're all protocols that allow for that inner spirit to really come out and flow.
Well, I'm really excited for you and for being able to utilize those three things together the way that you do. And for me, that's what really grabs me about mindfulness in general, is you can have 100 people that are all practicing some sort of mindfulness or hypnosis or meditation or something like that, different breathing methods, what have you, and everybody does their own thing and their own style of that thing and different combinations of it. And yours is just absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Would you mind just telling once again what the name of your company is, so people can look you up, and tell them again how the best way to get hold of you is as well?
Absolutely, thank you. And it's been wonderful to be here. Thank you so much, MJ, for having me.
Yeah.
Anyone can reach me at zeldahypnosis.ca, because I am in Canada. And I have a calendar there that you can book a private session, or I also am advertising group sessions. I've started doing group sessions. Now the group sessions are done over like a Zoom platform, and they are recorded. So if you can't make the time allotted, then you can still sign up and then take it at your leisure, whenever is good for you. Okay. And just sit back and follow along and listen to it, and then some spiritual coaching as well for those that want that ongoing support, with there's usually a little bit of hypnosis in there as well. So
that's incredible.
Yeah, so okay. Zelda O'Connor, or sorry, zeldahypnosis.ca.
Thank you so much. And this has been Waking Lions. I'm so glad that you guys were able to join us and you were able to listen to Sally, because she's an extraordinary person, and I'm sure you'll agree. But thank you very much, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye.